your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Internet, happy Monday. Thank you for kicking off your week with Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Sarah Avampato, host of Locked On LA Kings, as well as the Monday and Wednesday editions of this very show. Today, we are kicking things off this week by talking to some of our local experts across the network about some of the biggest stories in hockey. And you don't get much bigger than a kind of blockbuster trade between two top three draft picks who both wanted a change of scenery. Over the weekend, it was announced that the trade that we all kind of thought was happening had happened, and Columbus sent Pierre-Luc Dubois and a draft pick north to Winnipeg in exchange for Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic, a Columbus native who also very publicly said that he did not want to be in Winnipeg anymore. So I've got both sides of the trade today. I've talked to Jay Forster from Locked On Blue Jackets and Harrison Lee from Locked On Winnipeg Jets. Both of them are on the show today to kind of share their thoughts and feelings about this trade and what it means for their teams and how things are going to shake out going forward. We've also got another COVID story because that is kind of the story of the league this year. The Capitals not only have lost a handful of players to the COVID protocol list, but also got fined big time because of the actions of some of those players. Amy Rothenberger from Locked On Capitals is here to explain the whole situation to us all. So first up, we head to Columbus to learn about saying goodbye to Pierre-Luc Dubois, but saying hello to Patrick Laine. We've talked about this on the show before, but we're going to get the conclusion to the saga of Pierre-Luc Dubois and Columbus and wanting a change of scenery. And so today we're going to be sitting down with both hosts of Locked On Blue Jackets and Locked On Jets to get their perspectives on the trade and their feelings. And so first up, we've got Jay Forster from Locked On Blue Jackets to give us some feelings. So we'll actually start out with the feelings question. How are you feeling?
Honestly, I think now it's just kind of relief. I spent most of Friday in a state of just like vague badness. I just kind of wanted it to be over and it didn't seem like it was going anywhere. And I was like, okay, listen, I've made my peace with the fact that Dubois is not finishing the season as a Blue Jacket, but I didn't think it was going to be right. Okay, he's going to throw this temper tantrum on Thursday and then on Friday he's going to be on the way out. So right now it's mostly just kind of numb and relieved that everything is over and we can hopefully move past like all of this bad feeling. And I'm excited for Laine to get into town because I think if we can put him with someone that can just get him the puck all day long, you know, that's a potential 50 goal scorer right there, which I don't think the Blue Jackets have literally ever had.
Without Dubois, I feel like the trade is a little, not unbalanced, but you switched a center for a winger. So what's the center position look like for the Blue Jackets now that you are without Dubois?
I mean, obviously it's not as good as it was before Dubois. The irony with this trade is that we've been talking about acquiring like a high scoring left winger for like 3 years now to get someone to replace Panarin who can play with Dubois. And so we went out and we got that high scoring winger and we had to swap Dubois for him. But I feel a lot better about it knowing that kind of Alexander Texier started the season at wing and then we put him in center because Mikko Koivu was out with COVID protocols. And he's actually done a really good job. I think he's probably going to switch to center permanently now. And so down the middle, we've got Domi, who has looked better in the last couple of games. I thought he like had a really bad start to the season. We've got Texier. Mikko Koivu is going to be back on Tuesday. So I'm excited to win some face-offs for the first time in like 3 years. And then like eternal fourth line center slash babysitter, Riley Nash.
Every team needs one of those. What's kind of the mood around the Blue Jackets now that you know, the trade has finally happened. The tension, I guess, can all go away. I feel like it couldn't have been a very fun time for anyone, especially all the media was asking about was questions about Pierre-Luc Dubois. And I'm sure that everyone was really tired of talking about it, no matter what the situation actually was. So what's kind of the mood around the team as they finally put this chapter to an end and wait for Line A to be able to make his debut?
I think, again, it's relief. It's thank God that's over. And I do think that, like, it's kind of complicated because I don't actually blame Dubois for a lot of what's going on. There's a really good article on blueshirtbanter.com about how it was basically throwing this passive-aggressive temper tantrum was the only leverage he had about how long he was going to be in Columbus, because he was a restricted free agent. He wasn't eligible for arbitration, so he basically had to either take what the Blue Jackets were offering or sit and not play. So I don't blame him for wanting to take things into his own hands, but I also think that by doing so, he did create probably a pretty unpleasant atmosphere in the locker room. And so I think there's probably just, you know, a lot of relief. And I think based on the game last night against Tampa, which we won 5-2, you know, it felt like a very different team. And I think it was kind of that and breathe. You know, we've cleared all of the air. I don't think any of them wish him like badly. I think, you know, they're all going to be happy for him to succeed in Winnipeg or wherever. But I do think it was probably okay now. Now we've cleared the air, it's all kind of out in the open. We don't have to deal with that as well as playing NHL hockey in a pandemic.
Yeah, it's a lot of things going on all at once. Do you know what the timeline is for when Line A is actually going to be able to make his debut?
So as far as I'm aware, because he's coming in from Canada, he doesn't have to quarantine. If someone was going from America to Canada, they would. So I'm assuming that Dubois will have to quarantine for 2 weeks once he finally gets into Canada. I'm sure I saw someone saying that the other way is not quite as strict, which is unsurprising, but also bad. He is out with an upper body injury at the minute. I believe he's day to day. I saw Jeff Svoboda of Jackets Insider saying maybe the end of next week / the start of this week. I do also know he has some visa issues. I assume that obviously with the Canadian teams all playing in Canada, the visa requirements for this season were probably a little bit different. So I think they probably have to get his visa sorted and then he can come over, and then hopefully by the time all that's sorted, he'll be healthy and playing in maybe next Monday's game.
One last kind of thought to wrap all of this up, and I'm sure it's the thought that is going through a lot of people's minds. John Tortorella doesn't exactly have the greatest track record with young, full of personality, slightly feisty players. I feel like there's varying degrees of what role he had to play in Dubois being unhappy, but how do you imagine this is going to go with Tortorella getting this very great player who may not always want to play the way Torts wants him to play?
I think it could go one of two ways. I think it could either go the way everyone expects, which is that they butt heads and everything is terrible and he keeps benching him because he doesn't want to play defense. However, early on in kind of Torts' tenure in Columbus, someone, I believe, probably Aaron Portsline, wrote an article about his relationship with guys like Brandon Dubinsky or Cam Atkinson. And they talked about how Torts likes it when someone yells back because it shows passion. And he kind of, he respects them more for that. And so I could see kind of Line A, you know, he cares a lot about what people think of him, I think. You know, he was mad as hell that he didn't go first overall and Austin Matthews did. And so I could see all of that kind of combining into him basically telling Tortorella to, you know, go F himself and going out and scoring 4 goals just to like prove that he can do it. So, you know, I think it depends on how he responds to Tortorella's coaching style. But I think either way, it's going to be lots of shouting at each other.
Yeah, I don't see it going any other way than that. I feel like for both of these guys, it's, well, really all three of them, because Roslovic, who we haven't really talked about, also very publicly wanted out of Winnipeg to the point where he didn't even sign the new contract they offered him. So you have three guys who all wanted a change of scenery and they're all going to get it. But whether or not, you know, the grass is greener on the other side for each of them and what they specifically wanted, we will find out. But I hope that it all works out for everyone, for you guys and that, yeah, Patrick Laine goes and scores 50 goals for you guys and just, you know, has a blast.
That would be so good. Like, that's what we need. We haven't had a guy like that since Panarin left a couple of years ago, and I'm excited to have someone on this team who can score a lot of goals.
It is going to be fun, at least. So for people who want to keep up with this fun and want to, I don't know, maybe watch a game and see the long shot on the bench of Laine and Torts shouting each other in the middle of a game, because I'm sure it's going to happen, where can they find you and your show on the internet?
So you can find me on Twitter at JTheGoalie. I do yell about other things over there. I've got some really fun stuff coming up next month for Pride Month. So if that's something you're interested in, then give me a follow over there. You can find Locked On Blue Jackets wherever you get podcasts. We're on Twitter at @LO_BlueJackets. And if you want to yell at me, tell me I'm a moron, or, you know, comments, questions, criticisms, you could email the show at lockedonbluejackets@gmail.com.
Thank you to Jay for jumping on the show and sharing all of his thoughts on that trade and what is next for the Columbus Blue Jackets. We've got Harrison Lee coming up next, but first, are you ready for the Super Bowl? Are you ready for more college sports? And are you ready to make some wild assumptions about the state of hockey after just, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 games for each of our teams? Well, if you are interested in all that, there is only one place online that has you covered and one place that we trust for making those sorts of predictions, and that is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Now, I am not particularly a football person, but I know that some big things happened over this weekend in the NFL world as we get closer to the Super Bowl being a thing. And if you are someone who watches that sport and, you know, thinks that you know what is going to happen next, well, you can go and put some money down on that. If you're looking at hockey, if you are a one sport person like I am, you can make guesses as to who's going to win the Calder. Are you someone who is on the Kirill Kaprizov train? Are you buying into the hype around Alexei Lafreniere? Or do you have another dark horse candidate who you think might take it home this year? You can place money on all those things and hopefully walk away with a nice chunk of change at the end of the season. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. We heard earlier on the show today from Jay Forster from Locked On Blue Jackets all about his take on the trade that sent Pierre-Luc Dubois north to Winnipeg, and I figured I'd get the other side of the coin in that trade, so I've got Harrison Lee of Locked On Jets here to break down his thoughts and feelings. So I will ask you the same question that I asked Jay, which is, how are you feeling about all of this?
To be honest, I think I've come to accept it to a point. You know, the night before it happened, there was plenty of buzz that it was coming, but I think a lot of us anticipated that at some point this season or during the summer, Laine was probably gone. I think a lot of us had been thinking about it for a while, so when it actually happened, it wasn't a shock. Now, what is funny is, like, last week, I thought he had gotten traded because I woke up late. You know, slept in on a weekend day, and somebody was like, hey, where's Patrick Laine been traded to? And I'm like, what? And I saw that he had been removed from practice, but it was because of an injury. And somebody was like, oh, yeah, he's gone. I'm like, And so I was like, oh, I hope this isn't his last game as a Jet. And it turns out, 5 days later, it is, in fact, his last game as a Jet. Somehow, though, like, I'm personally sad, but, like, I think I was anticipating it enough to not feel the full impacts, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like if you can already prepare yourself to be disappointed or sad or angry or whatever it is, and you've prepared yourself a little bit for whatever happens when they do something like this, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blockbuster trade, but it's not one that's particularly shocking anymore. Shocking to the rest of the league, I'm sure. It's just with how the Jets have had some issues recently with some of the young kids wanting to hang around and some of the players exiting on less than stellar terms, it's not super shocking. It's disappointing that it didn't work out, But I think the guy coming back in a lot of respects has at least softened the blow significantly.
So tell me about where you think Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to fit in this lineup. I know that you already have a bunch of centers. It isn't really a position where you look at the Jets and think, oh, your first line center is a guy who shouldn't really be playing there. Where do you think he's going to draw in? What does this change about kind of the makeup of the Jets for now?
I think until Paul Stastny arrived, we actually did have a serious second line center shortage. It's something that's haunted the Jets for a couple of seasons now, in part because, like, Shifley, he's very gifted offensively, but actually in tonight's game against the Oilers, we just saw Shifley kind of half-arse a bit of a shift in the defensive zone. It's very clear that inside the offensive zone, he's fantastic. But when it comes to tracking back and being that top-line two-way player in his own end, he's not really been that. Dubois, I don't think, really fits the kind of player that does that sort of defensive two-way transition work. But what he will be is like a really direct... At times, he reminds me a little bit of Blake Wheeler in his ability to cut centrally and get in towards the net. He likes to get really up close and personal, which is kind of a different look for this Jets team. So you can run a Shifley first line and then a PLD second line. Apparently, they want to flip Stastny to, I think, Dubois' wing, which is kind of funny. You know, you trade for centers and then suddenly you convert one of them to like a winger. But it actually, I mean, it does, I guess, make a little bit of sense. I just don't really care for that particular style. I think PLD will definitely be our long-term second-line center if he wants to hang around. And I think he will be a very interesting power play two player, perhaps, because the second power play unit has traditionally really struggled to score.
It's interesting that this trade, I feel like, kind of fulfills needs for both teams. Both teams had players who, for whatever reason, wanted to leave, wanted to move on to a new home. And I know the Blue Jackets had been looking for a scoring winger ever since Artemi Panarin left. And as you said, the Jets have kind of had a center problem that this will now kind of change a little bit of the dynamic of. So it's a trade that I feel like no one was surprised by, just because it's the easiest swap to do of two top three draft picks who both wanted to leave where they are.
And the thing that kind of made it a little bit more convenient is Columbus had been calling about Laine before, so they already had an interest in him. I think that he was aware of that interest and probably to some degree expected them to come calling again. And then Dubois' dad works within the Winnipeg Jets organization as a member of the Manitoba Moose. So he knows the city. He's been there at least a couple of times. He was there last year during quarantine. And so he understands the city. He has like a level of familiarity and comfort, which is super great. So honestly, a lot of the conditions, on a human level and on a hockey level, kind of coincided to fit this trade as something that made a lot of sense for both sides.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people were kind of making fun of the trade both ways. A little bit of, you know, trash talking for both cities, but Dubois basically already being very familiar with the city and his dad being a part of the organization, I think is something that a lot of people missed or didn't know. And I think does kind of change the dynamic of maybe he is someone who will want to stick around because he already knows this place. And it's not like he's going somewhere that, you know, he didn't have any control over this trade, but he had a little bit of control. Like there weren't too many teams, I think, that he was going to be able to be traded to and going to one that he's already kind of familiar with and has some context with, I think, makes it a little easier to see how he's going to actually adapt and play hard and be a part of the solution for Winnipeg instead of whatever that was from him on his last shift as a Blue Jacket.
Yeah, he gave an interview during an intermission yesterday with Sportsnet that it was troubling in a way because it felt like he had been in genuine distress with the Blue Jackets, which you don't really like to see these young kids really upset. He seemed like somebody who had a huge weight off of his shoulders lifted. I don't know what happened in that dressing room or between him and the management team, the coaching staff. It sounds like it was a toxic situation all around. So I think he's just very happy to be on his way to like a different place, another chance to start over. And now that his family's going to be around him, he's probably hoping for a much more supportive environment.
Well, we will wrap things up with the outlook for when you think he's going to be on the team. Has there been any kind of indication as to when he's going to be able to get through quarantine and stuff and actually start taking part in practices and games and stuff?
I think, I mean, honestly, information around all of this stuff has been very limited. I think the bare minimum is like 7 days, but I would expect he'll probably be here sometime in the next week and a half or so. But until that time, it'll be like probably 4, 5, maybe even 6 games without him, and then he'll start to work into it.
Well, we of course are going to keep an eye on that situation and see what he looks like when he makes his Winnipeg Jets debut. For anyone out there who wants to keep up with the Jets, who's a Blue Jackets fan, who also still loves Dubois and wants to follow along with what is next for him, where can they find you and the show on the internet?
They can find us at @LO_WinnipegJets for the Locked On Winnipeg Jets podcast Twitter. You find us on Megaphone, Apple, Spotify, whatever is your favorite podcasting platform of choice. And then, of course, you can follow my personal Twitter, where you can tell me how much I'm wrong and how much I really don't understand Winnipeg Jets hockey at HL Living Loco.
All right. Well, thanks so much. And good luck once you get your new large center on board.
Thanks. We are hoping to welcome our large adult son very soon.
Thanks to Harrison for sharing all of his thoughts and feelings on the current situation in Winnipeg and how he thinks Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to fit in on his team. We're going to end the show up next with Amy Rothenberger from Locked On Capitals. But first, let's talk about a Built Bar, because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It is delicious. It is covered in 100% chocolate. And whether you are someone who runs marathons or if you're like me and all you really do is sort of chase your cats around the house, Built Bar is there for you to give you energy and to give a nice healthy snack for you when you need a little boost in your day. There are all sorts of great flavors, including apple almond crisp, orange mint brownie, my personal favorite, cookies and cream, and many more. Built Bar is great for you if you're health conscious or if you just want a nice way to start your day. They are low in calories, low in sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they are just, again, super delicious. So go check it out. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. We, of course, have shows all week long for you here on Locked On NHL. Tomorrow, tune in to hear Mike DiStefano and Joe DiBiase looking at the North Division and the East Division. And then on Wednesday, it's me and Tom Gazzola looking at what I'm calling teams on the left side of the map Wednesday as we look at the West and Central Divisions. Of course, content all week long here on Locked On NHL, so make sure you're subscribed and never miss a single episode. It seems like every week on this show, we have a new team to talk about in terms of COVID and all sorts of nonsense that's going on, I guess, with all of them. And this week is no different, as the Washington Capitals have not only had to lose some important players to the COVID list, but also got a pretty big fine. So we've got on the show today Locked On Capitals host Amy Rothenberger here to break down what has happened with the Washington Capitals. So for anyone out there who has not been following the saga of the fine, the COVID list, the shenanigans that people got up to, what's your explainer as to what has happened in Washington?
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Here's what we know so far. And there was a lot of, no, the right word for it, but a lot of rigmarole when this first came out. It was, oh, they got fined and everything happened. Here's what I know. I know that our starting goalie, Ilya Samsonov, tested positive for COVID. As a result of that positive test, contact tracing was done. During that contact tracing, it was found out that Ilya Samsonov spent time in his hotel room or in a hotel room, someone's, unmasked with the other Russians on the team. Alex Ovechkin, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Dmitry Orlov. Due to that, not only were all four of them put on the COVID list, the team was fined $100,000 by the league for breaking the rules. Now, there's been a whole lot of hullabaloo amongst Caps fans. Well, they're with each other on the ice all the time, and they're with each other in the locker room all the time. They don't have masks on, which is also against the rules in the locker room. So I'm not sure if my personal thought is this is a really good way for the NHL to go. These are the rules. You break the rules, you face the consequences. Capitals, you owe us $100,000. Those aren't the only consequences, however. We saw the other night at our home opener against Buffalo, because right now it seems the only team we play is Buffalo, that playing without Ilya Samsonov, without Alexander Ovechkin, without Evgeny Kuznetsov, and without Dmitry Orlov makes the Capitals a much different looking team. Now, there's always going to be a question in goal because our goalie tandem right now is young and doesn't have a lot of NHL experience to begin with. So that's always been kind of a question mark in terms of how this season's going to go. What wasn't a question mark until now is, what does playing without Ovi look like? And that's been different. And I will tell you, as a fan and someone who, and I say this all the time on my podcast, really only works by the eye test, because there's not much else that I can contribute from an analysis standpoint when I look at hockey games. I think a couple of good things happened and a couple of bad things happened. The couple of good things were that I think Vitek Vanacek, this is my big hot take for the Capitals season. I think Vitek Vanacek's going to give Samsonov a run for his money. And I think maybe by the end of this short season, might be the starter. There are games that he's been asked to play already, and there are games that, you know, he's kind of had to play in, you know, this last one, and there are a few more coming up. And yes, we've got Craig Anderson on the taxi squad for a reason, thank goodness, but we haven't seen him yet, and I don't think we'll have to see him unless something particularly horrible happens. I think Vitek Vanacek has done very well in his first few NHL games. He has not played in the NHL at all until this season. But for someone, especially someone who's making his NHL debut, he has looked very poised. He looks like he knows where he is and he thinks he should be there. Again, these are all eye test things from Coach Amy. But I think there's a stark difference between how he handles himself in net and how Samsonov does. I think it's sort of a presence in net thing. I also think part of it is Samsonov plays a lot deeper in net than what I'm used to seeing. And what I'm used to seeing is lots and lots of years of Braden Holtby. So that could be part of this equation. The other good thing that happened, Jonas Siegenthaler up onto the defense. Jonas Siegenthaler has almost 100 NHL games under his belt. He's going to hit that threshold soon. And were it not for having picked up Chara over the offseason, I think he would have been on the second or third pair to start. Having an overwhelming amount of defensemen this season, having picked up Chara along with Trevor Van Riemsdyk over the offseason, kind of pushes him down that depth chart a little bit. And I think he's a good, big defensive player who's excellent on the PK, who deserves a shot at not hanging out in a taxi squad someplace. So this has given him that opportunity. Couple of bad things. I will say that for the first time in a while during this last game against Buffalo, the Caps had some really good power play opportunities that could have led them to win this game in regulation instead of in a shootout. And without your Alexander Ovechkins and your Evgeny Kuznetsovs, the power play looks a lot different and not necessarily all that great. Aside from that, yeah, you miss the intimidation of a possible Ovi shot headed towards your opposing team's goalie. You miss the hard hits that Ovi can dish out and his sort of just intimidation factor on the ice all around. In addition to all of this COVID craziness, during that game, we also lost one Tom Wilson, speaking of intimidation factors, to some sort of lower body injury. He did not practice yesterday. I don't even know if he's a game time decision for the game later today. I haven't seen anything as of yet. I have been checking hockey Twitter like a madwoman this morning. If we're missing those four guys and Tom Wilson, I think the Tom Wilson loss is in a lot of ways a bit bigger than losing those four Russians, because he's been playing super well. And again, it's a small sample size. It's the first few games of the season, but he has as many points as he has games played so far. And that's something you want in one of your top line forwards. And now that's missing. And so are two of your other top line forwards. And so is one of your defensemen and your starting goalie. So I think it's a miracle at this point that the Caps have not lost a game in regulation. We've managed to pull a point out of every game we've played so far this season. And if we manage to keep doing that over the course of however long, they estimate it's going to be about four games that Ovi Kuzi and Orlov are going to be out. I'm not sure, because Samsonov tested positive, what the exact protocols are for that. I think he has to quarantine for 10 days and then come back. So he may be out a little bit longer. I think the testing time frame for the contacts is a little bit more condensed. I think they take 3 tests over 7 days and none of those can be positive, and then they can come back. We'll say Ovi, Kuzi, Orlov are out for at least 4 games. Samsonov might be out for 1 or 2 more, depending on how that timeline falls. And then we don't know how long Tom Wilson's going to be out. Something's got to give. Anybody who listens to Locked On Capitals knows that I love my Washington Capitals, but also knows that I am not a rah-rah for the home team, every day, always kind of gal. And I think the other shoe is about to drop. I like I said, I think it'll be a miracle if we can keep pulling at least a point out of these games. And this is a team that's shown to be very resilient, but I heard a very interesting stat during last game's broadcast, and that was at one point after Wilson left the game, only 6 of the players on the Capitals roster that night are ones that were with them when they won the Stanley Cup. And between that and learning a new system and having a new coach, which are big hurdles to get over in a regular season, never mind a shortened season where you have to be good quick, it'll be really interesting to see where this is headed. And I really hope that this won't happen again. But even if it's not with the Capitals, we know just for the nature of trying to play sports during a pandemic, it will happen somewhere.
The thing that really struck me about this, it is weird that it's like, okay, you guys can sweat and spit all over each other on the ice during a game, but COVID's not going to happen on the ice, but it will happen in your hotel room. Like, I totally get all the people who are like, yeah, this is weird. I know Ovechkin's wife even posted something on Instagram or whatever that was kind of frustrated with the rules. But at the end of the day, those are the rules, and those are the rules the players agreed to. Those are the rules the players' union agreed to. And yeah, it might be a little absurd, but that's the price you have to pay. And I'm sorry you don't get to hang out with your buddies, but that's how it is. And the league is okay with making an example out of someone. And so hopefully that's a little bit of a scared straight kind of thing, of people will actually be like, oh, they're serious if they find out.
I will say that some of the hot takes I've seen on Cap's Twitter have included, oh, I wonder what this will do to Ovi's contract negotiations. It won't. He will ask for money and the Capitals will pay him. Again, that might be really pessimistic of me, sort of, but there's no way in hell, pardon my French, that Ted Leonsis will let Ovi go if he can help it. Ovi is the Washington Capitals. This is not going to be the straw that breaks the contract negotiations back.
That would feel wild to me that the Capitals would be like, yes, we're gonna short you on this next contract because you did a bad thing once. Like, no, he's not going to be wearing a Bruins sweater in a couple years or whatever. He is definitely a Washington Capital for as long as he wants to be one. But yeah, I feel like it was very striking that it wasn't just a bunch of fourth line guys, or it wasn't the taxi squad who you know, got in trouble for this. It was 3 of your best players and your starting goaltender. And it wasn't just a bunch of guys who you'd be like, we can plan without them, or we can call up a guy to replace him. You can't just replace with Alex Ovechkin with anyone. So I feel like that's what's made it a weird thing to watch unfold, because you're like, these are the guys who drive this team. And Tom Wilson, as you mentioned, who is out for who knows how long for whatever's going on with him. Yeah, it looks very depleted very quickly. We'll wrap up with one last question about the state of the Caps. In the absence of all of these guys, who on the team are you looking to see more from, who you're looking to see kind of step up in these next couple of games while we're waiting for Ovechkin and company to be cleared to return to the ice?
Well, I will tell you who I have seen step up that does not surprise me. And number one is Nicholas, I will do it myself, Backstrom. And I really think he should change his middle name legally to I'll do it myself. And Jacob Vrana. Jacob Vrana's skating in a contract year this year as well. And I really think he's had a really good season thus far. And he's got a real chance to make a name for himself while these guys are out. Because while these guys are out, he's going to be who you see floating around on that top line. I have liked what I have seen from what used to be our fourth line and is now our third line because of said circumstances. And that is made up of Nick Dowd, Garnet Hathaway, and Carl Hagelin. They've been fast. Nick Dowd's got a couple of goals already this season. And I think that maybe either close to or matching his season high. So they're playing really good two-way hockey. I would like to see that continue. I would also really like to see if, and again, if this were an 82-game season, this might make a little bit more sense. But under the heading of why the heck not, they've brought our prospect, Connor McMichael, up to the taxi squad now. Throw him in a game or two, see what he can do, and see if he can augment the team and see if he might be worth keeping around for a little while. Those are the kinds of things I'm looking forward to. But the thing I'm most excited about, I think, is Jacob Vrana and what he can do, because I really think he started to break out big last season. He had himself a really good time during the cup run, but I really don't think we've seen him have as stellar a season as he can. And I think now's a good opportunity for that.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how the Capitals weather this as they go forward. I'm going to start calling Nick Backstrom Nick. I can do it on myself, Backstrom, because that's amazing. For people who want to follow along with this saga and keep up with what's going on with the Capitals, where can they find you and your show and all that out there on the internet?
You can find me and the Locked On Capitals podcast on Twitter at Locked On Caps. I also have my own Twitter at Amy Rothenberger. And I also have another hockey podcast that I do with a friend of mine. It is not a daily show. It is not even a weekly show. We do it every other week or so. And we don't just talk Caps. We talk about hockey in general. And that's called the Pucker Up Podcast. And you can find us on Twitter at Pucker Up Podcast or on our website at puckeruphockey.com.
Thanks so much to Jay Harrison and Amy all for jumping on the show to give us the lowdown on their own teams. Make sure you're following them on social media, their shows on social media, subscribe to their shows, all that great stuff. You can find this show on Twitter at LockedOnNHLPods so you can keep on track with all of our episodes, all the cool stuff we're doing here on this network. I'm on Twitter at RightSaidSarah if you want a bunch of vaguely hot takes about the Los Angeles Kings. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts, so make sure you're subscribing if you haven't already. Tell your friends all about it. Leave a rating or a review if you are enjoying what you're hearing on this show. And make sure you come back tomorrow for more hockey talk on Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.